a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m., our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews, and culture pieces from across Aotearoa Dunedin.
That's right, you're listening to the R1 News at 1. I'm Jemima.
And I'm Isla.
And you're listening to a Radio 191 FM. Today we've got a pretty stacked show for you. We'll be kicking it off with a bulletin in just a moment. We've also got an interview with Kitten. If you read Critic Te Arohi this week, you'll know that there are protests ongoing against Stiletto's nightclub, organised by former workers there, Kitten being one of those workers. So we'll be talking to them about the working rights in Stiletto's and what they're doing to, you know, what are their goals in protesting and what they hope to achieve for sex workers in Aotearoa. As well as that, we've got Sam Sports Sweep. We won't have Sam reading it today, but I will be taking the lead with that, and Isla's STEM news as well. But first up, this is the bulletin.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Tuesday, the 24th of September. I'm Isla.
And I'm Jemima. In international news, Israeli airstrikes have killed 492 people and sent tens of thousands of people fleeing for safety in Lebanon. The airstrikes were directed at over 1,000 Hezbollah targets, says Israel's military. Al Jazeera reports that of the 492 people killed, 35 were children and 1,645 people have been injured. A Lebanese health official says it is Lebanon's highest daily death toll from violence since the 1975 to 1990 civil war. Prior to the bombings, Lebanese civilians received messages via their phones and radio broadcast from Israel's military ordering them to move away from Hezbollah strongholds. This has prompted fears that Israel has hacked Lebanon's telecommunications networks. RNZ reports that in response to Israel, Hezbollah says it has launched dozens of missiles at a military base in northern Israel, and more attacks were expected in Lebanon.
There has been progress on the world's first agreement to protect people from future pandemics during a recent meeting led by the World Health Organization. The discussions and meetings lasted 2 weeks and ended on Friday last week. In December of 2021, WHO established an intergovernmental negotiating body to draft and negotiate a convention, agreement, or other international instrument that would strengthen pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. The body is composed of the 194 members of member governments of WHO, with further negotiations occurring in November. Ms. Precious Motsoso, ANB co-chair from South Africa, said, "Following nearly 3 years of negotiations, countries are now focused on the remaining and most critical elements of the draft agreement." Ambassador Ampro, INB Bureau co-chair of France, said, "There was clear recognition from all countries that we must agree on a way forward to work better, together, to protect their citizens from future pandemics." In light of the recent negotiations, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, WHO Director General, praised the collective commitment of the people involved, while emphasizing that the next pandemic will not wait for us. In national news, on Sunday, Health Minister Dr. Shane Reddy announced that urgent action is being taken to restrict the sale of nitrous oxide within New Zealand. Within the medical field, nitrous oxide, or laughing gas, has been used for decades as a sedative. In addition, it is also used as a propellant to make whipped cream. In more recent years, people have been referring it to NAGS or NOS when using the gas as a recreational drug. David Newcomb from the University of Auckland Centre for Addiction Research, in a statement from 2021, said that there are some harms that can come with using it, but it has a relatively low potency and the effects dissipate quickly. However, MedSafe, New Zealand's Medicines and Medicinal Devices Safety Authority, has recently advised that the selling of nitrous oxide for the purpose of psychoactive activity will now fall under the Psychoactive Substance Act instead of the Medicines Act. Therefore, it would make it illegal to sell the product under recreational use. The breach of this regulation is punishable by either prison time or fines. Personal possession of the substance is punishable by a fine of up to $500. Those who sold or offered to sell nitrous oxide for personal use could be convicted of up to 2 years or punishable with a $500,000 fine for a company. Worldwide, there have been more attempts to crack down on its use. As of late last year, in the UK, nitrous oxide has been classified as a Class C drug under the Misuse of Drugs Act 1971. Under this change, the possession and sale for recreational purposes is considered a criminal offense. In February this year, the first ever person became jailed for this misdemeanor, having a 4-month prison sentence. A Christchurch man has recently been jailed for fraud after admitting he used the identities of 10 strangers, including a dead person, to apply for more than $65,000 in COVID wage subsidy payments. The COVID-19 wage subsidy scheme was a fund available to businesses, employers, and self-employed workers who experienced or were reasonably expected to suffer a decline in revenue due to COVID. A Christchurch man using the scheme submitted 14 applications and was successful with 4 of them, having received approximately $28,000 between April and June of 2020. In total, however, the man applied for $94,000. The identities of the applications were also that of 10 strangers, one of whom was dead. The man was sentenced in July this year for an initial 2 years and 6 months, as the man had pleaded guilty to 4 out of the 14 applications. However, recently, 12 additional months have since been added to his sentence due to the other 10 applications. Upon release, the man will need to pay $5,000 worth in reparations.
In Otipoti news, tonight an update hui on the Otipoti Rainbow Crossing will be taking place at Woof from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. All from the queer and Takatapui community are welcome to attend to catch up with all the progress and developments of this great mahi, which, spoilers, has grown not only to be a crossing, but a queer street development. To find out more and tautoko this beautiful project, make sure you head along tonight.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Tuesday, the 24th of September. Today's bulletin was written and read to you by Isla Taring and Jemima Lorimer.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
You're listening to the R1 News on Radio 191 FM. Make sure you stay tuned, because when we will be back, we'll be joined by Kitten to talk about what has been happening at Stilettos, their unfair dismissal, and the protest that they carried out on Friday the 13th. But first up for you, this is Sweat It with Boogie featuring High Hopes.
In our younger days now, we should get it while we're hot.
Welcome back to the R1 News at 1. Today is Tuesday, the 24th of September, and I'm Jemima, and I'm joined in the booth by Isla. And now we're moving on to our news story and interview for today. Approaching 2 weeks ago, on Friday the 13th, a protest against Otipoti's soul strip club, Stilettos, took place in the Octagon, bringing light to unfair and unsafe working conditions at the club. It began with workers finding discrepancies with their contracts and actual working conditions. After workers raised concerns with management, 3 workers were fired and the rest received warnings. Kitten is one of the workers fired by Stilettos management. They join us now on the R1 News to talk about the protest, the allegations they're bringing against Stilettos, and their goals for protest. Welcome, Kitten. How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So, you organised a protest in the Octagon, you know, a very public space, against Stilettos. Can you share why you took this so publicly? Why was it important to do this in the Octagon? And on Friday the 13th, such an iconic day.
I think first thing is with the Friday the 13th, it's just sort of a... It was convenient timing for when I wanted to do it, and it was very much... I don't know, just in spirit, I guess, to, like, dress up, be spooky, be hot, like, you know. But it was really about, like, trying to get out there that people do know about it, people are going to speak about it, and, you know, I have friends that are still working there, and, you know, they do tell me what happens, and so it's, you know, and I've worked there. I get the gist of it, so it's, you know... They sort of have the idea that it can all be kept under wraps, but I want to make it so that's not the case.
100%. So you were formerly working at Stilettos, and I was just wondering, before we go into really diving into this conversation, are the strippers at Stilettos contractors or employees?
We were all contractors, and that was part of the problem was getting treated like employees when we're supposed to be contractors.
Indeed. So you've spoken to Critic about the issues and told them that it started with the contract. And after reviewing that contract, two workers were fired, and then you were fired about 2 weeks later. And the other workers also received warnings. What was different in the contracts to how you were expected to be carrying out your work as well as the working conditions that you were working in?
There's certain things I can and can't speak about with it. But the main thing it started with was the dance times. You know, it was, we were told in person, all of a sudden, no warning, that it was going to be 10 minutes minimum of on stage. And we were fine with this change. It was just that it needed to be reflected on the actual contract, and it wasn't. And then as we were sort of looking into it, yeah, there were a lot more other issues where, on review, there were whole parts of the contract that were, like, legally void as well, that I unfortunately can't speak about due to stuff in the contract. But it's stuff that in time will be probably public. So, yeah.
Okay. I was wondering if you were also able to, you said that you've experienced verbal and sexual abuse as well as, like, your co-workers as well whilst working at Stilettos. I was wondering whether this was from patrons or from management, if you're able to speak on that.
I think a big, obviously, like, you know, there is, unfortunately, where there isn't proper security, specifically security that is hired and doesn't actually have the qualifications, no matter how illegal that is, there's going to be that sort of stuff happening from patrons. Like, I think some of the worst groups we have had come in were students that sort of were like, oh, we paid $25 entry, like, sit on my face. And it's like, no, that's not what happens. But that like, just sort of happens, unfortunately. But a big part of it was from the staff, like, well, from specifically management slash owners. One specific example being that, like, almost every single girl I had spoken to had their first stag be with Tabitha. And during that, they were abused in some way, whether it be Tabitha had run off to, you know, go and have illegal substances, or, like, while then going to throw up. And there was one girl who, she was stranded on a boat after being sexually assaulted during her stag from Tabitha, and then, you know, had the, like, clients try to sexually assault her as well. Super traumatic, and it was because Tabitha was too messed up to notice anything going on or care. And then, yeah, big issue was the verbal abuse, you know, like, being absolutely screamed at and called, like, immature, told you're acting like a child just because you're being, like, hey, you're kind of, like, you know, there's some double standards going on here. Like, you know, you stole the stag that, like, I've been speaking to. We watched you do it behind our back. What's going on with that? And her turning around and, like, screaming at you and being like, it's because you're not as hot as me, blah, blah, blah. And then in a sort of inverse way, like, more manipulative abuse, like, with any girl that has worked there that was or is blonde will tell you, as soon as you become blonde, there is so much favoritism from her. It's, like, it's really weird, but yeah, like, just a lot of that sort of stuff, and there's always a lot of yelling and, like, being degraded and stuff like that.
That, I'm sorry to hear that. That's really hard. It doesn't sound like yes or no answer. I guess number one is, did you feel supported by management and higher staff while you were there?
Absolutely not.
And then to kind of move back to the patrons, when patrons were making you feel unsafe, did you feel supported by management or staff?
When I first started, it was very much like the security they had so lovely. Like, they were so, so lovely. And they left because they had better job opportunities. They were sick of getting, like, mistreated themselves and not getting paid properly, which is, like, a really big issue. But it was sort of outside of that, you know, it was coming into it and being told, like, oh, hey, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, you just, like, you leave that person, like, you don't talk to them, which, like, is how it's supposed to be. And then, you know, being told that if things get too overwhelming, that you can, like, come to the upstairs club, which is, like, a kink club. Not really the sort of environment you should be in when, you know, going from one sexual environment to another sexual environment. Not really. And, you know, it was sort of like, but being told that as a new girl, that was like, oh my gosh, like, this is amazing. There are so many accommodations. And then sort of entering, like, I think the last year and a half of working there, it was sort of like all of the girls, like, that had been there for ages left. So there was, like, no staff that had been here. No co-workers that had been there, that had been working there for ages. Bar never stayed there. Like, there's really high turnover rate there, and all of the workers. And then, yeah, all of the good security had left. And then all of a sudden we were being told, oh, like, yeah, you shouldn't be relying on the security to check the cameras to make sure that nothing's going down in a lap dance. Because if you feel unsafe with a guy, you shouldn't go in the dance to begin with. But then if you don't go into that dance, you then get yelled at for, you know, like, undermining the club and stuff like that. Or just, like, not actually doing your job, when it's literally, like, you're doing what they say, and they're sort of turning around and being like, but have you considered? No. It was very much like, at the end, it was sort of, you would ask the bar staff to check on the security cameras if you were going into a dance or something like that. And, like, oftentimes as well, it's like, you do feel safe going into a dance with a person, and then you come out of it, and it's like, oh, that was actually sexual assault. That was not okay. And, like, that can even happen years later. Like, you realize that. So, yeah.
When you were fired from Stiletto's, what did they give you a reason for your dismissal?
So it was very interesting. The other two girls that had been fired, they were, like, told, you're not being offered shifts anymore, because, you know, contract is that sort of what they can do. And until the contract expires, and fun thing, it doesn't actually have an expiry date, meaning that it's not valid at all. But that's another fun thing. But yeah, it's if you don't get your contract terminated, you're on that contract for until it expires. Like, it's they try to be sneaky about it. And they sort of, I noticed people all were getting their contracts, their new contracts, and I wasn't. And this was, like, before the fired up Stiletto. It was, like, first event as well. It was just because I was one of the more vocal people, I suppose, allegedly. It was then, you know, I wasn't able to come in, like, I think, like, one week, you know. I'm disabled. It's going to happen. And in the past, another example of, you know, things feeling safe at the start was, in the past, so many accommodations, she was so, like, supportive of my disability, as being like, you just come in literally whenever you can, like, you know, recommended me to doctors and stuff like that. Like, it all was so nice. But yeah, and then it was sort of, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get fired, like, that's fine. But I was like, I'm not going down without a fight. And I knew she would try to pull the same stuff, so I showed up for a shift that I was, like, on roster for, because you can't be taken off of a shift you're already there for, without there being a formal dismissal. And so I had to spend about 10 minutes after her saying, your shift is being retracted, you're not being offered shifts anymore. I had to spend, like, 10 minutes being like, well, no, actually, like, that is not the law. and until I had the confirmed wording of being dismissed. And it was, yeah, what she had said for it was that it was because, what was it? It was like, oh, yeah, because I hadn't been showing up for shifts when I had literal text evidence that for shifts that I had asked if she still wanted me to come in for because I'd be late, she had told me not to come in for. And then she tried to accuse me of defaming them. And I was like, well, first of all, I didn't even mention the club and what I had said. And second of all, nothing I said was untrue. And she was like, oh, well, anyway, change the subject. But it was very obviously because it was like, I was vocal about my rights. And I had always been open about that working there as well. And I'm also, I have an inkling that some of it was because my hair was dyed black as well. because the whole blonde hair trend, it was as soon as I stopped dyeing my hair, I wasn't being offered shifts as much anymore. So
yes, there are very specific reasons for dismissal, or like, you know, by law there can only be really specific reasons for dismissal. So it's a very interesting case that you've found yourself in. How has, you know, your dismissal affected your life? You're working, like, you know, not working at Stiletto's anymore going forward. What, you know, did that take away from you? How has that impacted you?
I think a big thing of it is just, like, the people who I used to work with that are, like, still stuck there, you know, not getting to, like, hang out with them as much, even though there's only two of the dancers remaining there that I had worked with. And it's, like, one of the girls that's been there the longest now, she's been there for like I think two almost 3 years, which is so crazy. That's like that's the senior person. So it's like sort of not getting to hang out with them as much. But it's that's kind of been the only real downside. It's like money's nice and all. I'll admit I'm like a pretty materialistic person. I like my stuff and my things, especially with how expensive Sanrio is. but it was sort of, I don't know, like, I have more time for me now, and literally the moment that I had, like, gotten dismissed, anyone, like, that I was spoken to can tell you, I, like, instantly, my mood level was up, my energy levels were up, and, like, part of that was, you know, you could say a symptom of my mental illness, you know, big change happening, I'm gonna go into, like, a really, like, productive, excitable state, but it was, it's sort of like I get to actually clean now. I don't, like, you know, I don't just rely on my chronic fatigue to just not trigger enough. It's sort of like in the past, I would spend all day in bed until about an hour before I had to go to work. And I'd get up and I'd get ready and then I'd go to work and then I'd come back and I'd fall asleep. And then it would sort of just be the same for the whole weekend. And then the rest of the week would just be like recovering. But, yeah, it's sort of like, I don't know, I was also definitely spending, like, too much money at times as well. It's sort of like, I had to sort of look back and be like, how on earth did I manage to spend that much money in 1 week? Like, it was a bit much. So, yeah, it's definitely been a positive impact, especially because I now have the time to go through every single little line of the contract and be like, oh, that's illegal and that's illegal, like, or like highlight things, pass it off to a lawyer, get them to be like, okay, now look into this. It's sort of like, I don't know, for my little autism brain, it's fun.
I was wondering too, what are your goals in protesting, like, Stiletto's? What changes do you want to bring about from this?
I think overall, just getting entirely new people owning it, you know, like, they've proven for so many years that nothing's going to change. Like, girls that worked there when Tabitha first was there, they will tell you that she's always been super abusive, and it's always been awful, and she, like, she's better than she used to be, but it's just that she's not as verbal, she's more manipulative about it. Yeah, it's really just, like, getting people to know, like, these people are really bad people. They own so many buildings that, like, you probably have gone to at least one of them sort of thing, or at least have, like, seen it and been like, oh, this is that place. And I sort of, I really, yeah, like, outside of eventually getting new owners in place, I just sort of want it to be, like, people search it up, and it comes up, like, instead of just Stiletto's Review Bar, the place, I want it to be Stiletto's Review Bar, exploiting workers, blah, 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 blah. Like, I want that to be the first sort of thought in people's heads when they think about it.
Mm. And to end on a, you know, you've spoken a lot about standing up for your fellow workers at the time. I can tell that, like, sex work is really important to you, stripping work is really important to you. What does the statement sex workers work mean to you?
I think it's really just, like, to not treat sex work as if it's just something that anyone can do. Because no matter the sort of sex work, you're, like, you're busting your ass out there. Like, you may be shaking your ass, but you're busting your ass. It's sort of, you know, if you're a, like, full-service sex worker, it can be, you know, like, having to get multiple massages a week to get out, like, lockjaw or, like, full-on cramps in your hand where your hand's just, like, stuck a certain way. Like, I knew a girl, like, she was... That was, like, so much of her life was just, like, basically having to recover from her job. Mm-hmm. But it's, yeah, really just to, like, not discriminate it. Like, it's sort of... Everyone in some way, shape, or form is selling their body, no matter what they're doing. It's like, you're selling a service. You are doing the service. You're getting paid for it. That is with your body. Like, it's just... Different people do different things. That's to be respected. Mm. Yeah.
Cool. How else can we, you know, how can we keep track of what you've got coming next in terms of protests? Do you have anything lined up, or is there somewhere you'd like to refer people on to?
We're currently in the planning stage of another protest for next month, leading up to our big Halloween thing. We're just trying to sort out a venue first. We're trying out, seeing if we can do different venues and fun stuff. But yeah, I guess keeping track of, like, when things are happening. Fight up Stiletto's Instagram, mm, or the Facebook. It's easy place to keep track of stuff. You know, it'll be posted, like, pretty much daily going up to the event, on the story, or, like, it'll be on the actual page and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that, Kid. And thank you so much for joining us on the R1 News today. And we're wishing you all the best in this, and thank you for taking your time to share this with our listeners, because it's so important to stand up for workers' rights everywhere in Otipote, whether that be at Stiletto's or, you know, at another location. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next up for you, we have Mass Seduction by St. Vincent. This is the R1 News. Keep it locked. We'll be back with Sports Sweep and STEM News very soon.
Sports Sweep with Sam Somerville, your weekly roundup of the biggest sports news on the R1 News at 1.
This is the Radio 1 News. I'm Jemima, hosting your Sports Sweep for the 24th of September, written by Sam Somerville. In rugby news, the All Blacks had a thrilling win against Australia in the Bledisloe Cup on Friday, beating our neighbours across the ditch in a 31-28 win. The All Blacks led 28-14 at halftime, nearly being unravelled as the Aussies launched a late comeback. A turnover 5 seconds before the 80 minutes were up saw New Zealand retain the Bledisloe Cup for the 22nd year in a row, thanks to tries scored by Will Jordan, Caleb Clark, Artie Surveyor, Riako Ione and Geordie Barrett. In football news, Kiwi striker Chris Wood once again managed to finish the back of the net for Nottingham Forest in the Premier League during a 2-2 draw against Brighton Wood. Makes it his third goal in 5 games, putting him 6th equal on the Premier League scoring charts this season. Erling Haaland leads the way with an astonishing 10 goals in 5 games, his latest coming in a thrilling 2-2 draw against Arsenal. His side, Manchester City, managed to score a goal in the 8th minute of stoppage time to salvage a point and maintain their position at the top of the table. In motorsport news, an announcement is soon expected for Kiwi Formula One reserve driver to get a full-time position on the grid in Red Bull's junior team Racing Bulls from the Texas Grand Prix onwards in late October. Reports say the 22-year-old will replace the 35-year-old Australian Daniel Ricciardo, with his race in Singapore on Monday potentially being his last. Lando Norris won the Singapore by almost 21 seconds ahead of Max Verstappen, closing Verstappen's lead in the championship to 52 points. In cricket news, the Black Caps lost to Sri Lanka in 63 runs in the first of their two test matches. Rachi Ravindra was dismissed for 92 runs, just 9 balls into the day 5 after a tight leg before wicket call proved to be the deciding factor. Play began on the last day with the Black Caps needing 68 runs and Sri Lanka needing 2 wickets, and Sri Lanka sealed the win after getting Will O'Rourke out just 13 balls later. The second test starts on the 26th of September. In golf news, Lydia Ko has claimed her 30th professional win after taking out Kroger Queen City Championship in Ohio on Monday. Ko beat Gino Chitkul of Thailand by 5 shots to finish 23 under after 3 rounds. I'm Jemima, and that was your sports sweep for the 24th of September, written by Sam Somerville, Radio 1.
STEM News with Isla Taring on the R1 News at 1.
Hi there, this is Isla Taring with your STEM segment. I, like many others, tend to get sucked into random holes on YouTube. One day I was watching a slap fighting slash chess match event between Ludwig and Seadog VA, and I couldn't help but be fascinated by the slapping segments. While sounding silly, the video made slaps look very painful and very violent. Considering this widely, there are professional slap fighting events, and unlike other hand-to-hand combat sports, the person has to just stand there and take the hit while the person has perfect aim and can hit as hard as they want. And this month, the first ever academic study was published on the dangers of competitive slapping fighting events. Published by the University of Pittsburgh, the study provided a quantitative assessment of the possible dangers of slap fighting to initiate further dialogue and conversation on the long-term effects and health of the competitors. Raj Sarul Levati, postdoctoral research fellow at PICS Neurosurgery Department, said that our end goal is to make all professional sports safer for the neurological health of the athletes. To assess how dangerous professional slap fighting can be, trained reviewers watch videos of slap fighting competition and analyze 333 slaps. Reviewers recorded visible signs of concussions and analyzed the frequency. Nearly 80% of fighters, at least once in their match, demonstrated a visible sign of concussion, of which had the potential to have severe long-term consequences. In this discussion, the study proposed high surveillance for the athletes with acute and long-term follow-up recommendations due to the high chance of neurological demise. Further research at the University of Pittsburgh is currently ongoing, with this measuring and analyzing the physical impact of an average slap while wearing a mouthpiece. This is similar to that of football players, and we'll see the effects of whether it could potentially provide added protection to the athletes and minimize the severity and chance of gaining a neurological disorder from slapping.
That is such a fascinating STEM segment for today. Thank you so much, Isla. You're listening to the R1 News at 1. And to follow it up, this is Britney Spears with Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Hey, this is Isla Taring, and you're listening to R1 News. This has come to the end of our segment, but if you'd like to catch up on what has happened, then tune in to Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts to listen what we covered today. We'd like to again give our thanks to Kitten, who came on to talk about workers' rights as well as working within stilettos. And you can also catch up on Sam Somerville's sports segment and my own STEM segment. That's been the R1 News for today.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts.
or head to r1.co.nz/news.
This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more at r1.co.nz or wherever quality content is found.